Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I are in the book of Philippians and talk about the fellowship of suffering that Paul describes in Philippians 3:10. We believe that what Paul meant is laying down your physical life in order to obtain a renewal, a resurrection in your inner spirit. It's when Holy Spirit has the opportunity to teach you heart to heart. Are you satisfied with your life? Do you have a purpose that you can explain? Jesus' blood cancels out the debt that you owed. The power of Holy Spirit cancels the sin of your past. Jesus' blood does a wonderful cleansing work in making those sins disappear, never to be remembered again. Now let's join the program.
We're finished with another week, Barbara, and you know something? That means we're 1 week closer to going to be with Jesus.
That's right.
Isn't that good?
It's amazing. It is just amazing. I thought when our children would leave our home and have their own families that the time would kind of slow down for us.
It doesn't work
that way. It's amazing. March, where did March and April go? I mean, it's summer.
Gone, gone.
Summer is upon us almost. And oh, I'll tell you what, it's wonderful though. It's great to be alive. It's great to be busy. I would rather be doing this than sitting in a rocker on a front porch, rocking myself into oblivion. So
rocking yourself to sleep.
Yeah, right. And we're so happy to have all of you with us today. We hope that your day is absolutely supernatural. We really do. Our prayers for you are only that God would just live in you, be in you who He has promised to be. It is wonderful to know that God has a plan for each and every one of you, and it's not for calamity or evil, but it's for health and for welfare and well-being, to give you a hope and a future. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. Keep that up on your wall or mirror or whatever, and it'll be a blessing to you.
Well, God knows exactly what He's doing, and I'm excited. I like the book of Philippians also. Ephesians and Philippians, I kind of get back in that area, and I like to get into both of those books because they're awesome, awesome books.
They are.
So how can we praise the Lord except to stop right now and do that?
Yes.
I'd like to pray. Father God, we thank You for the writings in the New Testament, the Old Testament, and this is really Your love letter to us, and we so appreciate it. But Father God, we can't understand it on our own. We have to have revelation knowledge. So today I'm asking You to be a part of this broadcast. For us here in the studio and for our listeners, Father God, that are in their cars and their homes and offices and all over the place, Father God, unless You're there with us and we pay attention and listen, we won't get it. It will be just like words in the newspaper. They're not inspired divinely like Your word is. So we ask You, and I say that You're opening up the eyes of our heart to understand and our ears to understand what You're telling us. Thank You, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. What I first would like to turn your attention to, those of you who are going through Word Power for Every Hour, you will notice that in April, we stopped on April the 13th at Acts 14, and we went into James. Now, why did we stop in the middle of Acts and go into the book of James? Because we are doing this chronologically. That means as Paul and Luke wrote the book of Acts, we're going to stop at the places where they spoke of in the chapters of Acts. For instance, in Acts 15, then we go to Galatians because they were in Galatia. In the 26th of April, we stop at Acts 16 and go to Philippians. Because they were in Philippi during this time, writing in Philippi. So you're going to go through, and it was probably one of the hardest times in writing this Word Power because I had to stop and try to surmise where they were at this particular time in their teachings. Now, in May, we're going to go from 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel into the Psalms. And why is that? Because King David wrote most of the Psalms. So we're going to start into the Psalms. We're going to go in 1 Samuel and go into Psalm 54, 63, because even before David was a king, Darren, he began writing the Psalms that we love to read today. So in the month of May, I just want to tell you that you're going to be skipping around a little bit, and that's because the people that these books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel are talking about, they're going to be writing the books of Psalms, of the different Psalms in the book of Psalms. So,
you know, one thing that's very comforting and challenging to me is that many of the Psalms that were written under great duress.
They were.
It wasn't, David sitting by a stream and the sheep are all around him, you know, and everything's lovely and the birds are singing. It wasn't that. He was running for his life.
He was, yes.
And, you know, many times when we're pressed to fall into the arms of Jesus, to run into the arms of Jesus, some of that is our best work. Because that's when we are laying down the flesh. It's being lopped off, you know, by the basketful, so to speak. And we have to find Jesus to survive.
That's right. We really do. And when we're hard pressed and pressed against the wall, Darren, the adrenaline is pumping, and that's when God usually really uses us in the way he wants.
Sometimes I think we start in pain 101 and we progress on up through there. And then if it gets worse, and one day we graduate from that, we get into graduate school 101, but it's still pain that drives us to get close to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've asked the Lord, why do I have to get squeezed so hard to get close to you? And that seems to be the human condition, you know, unless we're really hurting, we don't run to the Lord for help. Well, the book of Ephesians is a very encouraging book.
Philippians. Philippians.
I looked over at your Bible. You have, what are we doing?
Now our listeners are really scared because they're saying if they don't know what they're doing, I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm going to find another station. Please don't leave
us. You know, you were talking about how pain draws us to the Lord.
That's right.
And one of my favorite scriptures in the whole New Testament is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, everybody wants to know about the supernatural power of his resurrection, how Jesus was raised from the dead. And if you don't have our April issue, our resurrection issue with the tomb on the front, talking about the Shroud of Turin, call us at 1-866-917-7256 and ask for that issue. It was a tremendous evidence of Christ being raised from the dead midair from the dead. So, but we want to know about the power of his resurrection.
And you know, Barbara, there's some far out things there that is not New Age, folks. Never accuse that of us or you'll have a fight on your hands. Okay. But, you know, when Jesus, actually, there was a photograph pressed into that shroud.
A negative
by the radiation or the power of God that created that image on, and I believe it is the shroud that was around Jesus' body.
Yes.
And it's just like the Lord to leave a sign behind, you know, for all of us to stumble over for a long time.
And, that's true.
You know, all our modern techniques and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But God does those things. And this is not paranormal. It's not something out there in that type of the spirit world. This is real stuff. Mm-hmm. And we encourage you to get that. And what book did that Shroud of Turin?
It was in the April.
Okay.
But it was Dr. Lavoie, and it's called Resurrected by Dr. Mark Lavoie, I believe is his first name.
You know, I think that's right. Don't ask us to do biblical research for you. You go to the bookstore and you get your copy of that book. Now, Barbara actually did a book review on that, and that's where this article came from.
Dr. Lavoie's name is Lavoie. And it's very strange, but it's Lavoie, Dr. Lavoie, and it's called Resurrected.
I've had people come to me in just this last week. There seemed to be a resurrected or a new interest in the Bible code. I'm not so sure about all that, but I want to tell you something. I do believe in Dr. Lavoie's findings, and he spent over 20 years as a medical doctor bringing all these things to bear, and I think it's absolutely awesome. I think it's something will really back up Scripture, and I like that.
Well, this Scripture that we're talking about, Philippians 3:10, Darren, you were talking about how pain draws us to the Lord, how pain and trials seem to draw the best out of us, and here Paul is saying that in a few words here. He's not only talking about that he may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, but he's saying, I want to know you, Jesus, in the fellowship of your sufferings. And it's in fellowshipping, in suffering and trial, Darren, that we really come to know and love Jesus. It really is. It brings out the best in us, trial does. Pain brings out, we seem to be more alert and sharp at that time. So I believe that we can't neglect the fellowship of his sufferings here in this verse, being conformed to his death in order that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead.
You know, I think when they talk about gold, and gold is heated, and the dross comes to the top, and they take that off. Mm-hmm. I believe that there's dross in our lives, and it seems like this sanctification process, which is where we're moving from image to image and glory to glory. And I'll give you the scripture for that. It's found in 2 Corinthians 3:20, I believe. But let me just confirm that for you. But that is a sanctification process where we're going along, things are going pretty well, and all of a sudden the Lord has something new for us. And by the way, that's 2 Corinthians. That was my question, which Corinthians? Well, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit.
Yes.
Now, he wants to conform us to his image and likeness. In other words, he wants us to leave more and more of the flesh behind and become more and more like him.
Well, I believe that's what this says
in
Philippians 3:10, being conformed to his death. I believe each and every one of us who call ourselves believers or Christians need to be conformed to a death in the flesh, Darren. We really do. Conform to a death that says, I don't want, the flesh always wants to say, I want my own way. And in killing that, in saying, no, you can't have your own way. You can't go out and booze every night. You can't go out and lay with women or men every night. You can't do this because it'll destroy you spiritually. We're talking about destroying that flesh so our spirit will live on and conquer. And Darren, I believe that one of the greatest things that we see here is a conforming, a laying down our lives, a laying down of that flesh, that physical life, in order to attain a greater spiritual resurrection here.
Now, earlier in the week, we talked about a covering, and I believe Heavenly Father is our covering, and we need to know that all the time. And you know, when a little child is coming along and he's beginning to learn from his parents, and dad really wants the child to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And dad will begin to introduce him to his interests, and hopefully they're good interests. Well, I like baseball, so, you know, I'm going to come home after work, and we're going to get the ball, and we're going to go out, and we're going to play baseball. Or maybe it's archery, or it's something else, but that kid is going to catch on. And there's a term in education it calls inculcation. And what it means is you're teaching, by example, heart to heart. Well, that's where Heavenly Father wants to teach us, his heart to heart. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to react like he does. But we're born in sin.
Yes.
And when you get saved, all of those old habit patterns don't go away. And you say, oh, well, why didn't God just snap his fingers and say, ta-da, now you're brand new and you'll never have any problems. And you and I were both raised with a theology. It was called a holiness teaching that said once you got sanctified, you didn't have any more sin in your life. You never get angry again, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? That didn't work.
No.
And that threw us a real curve because it was a catch-22. What we're telling you is God wants to change your life so that you have more and more victory in your life and less frustration.
That's right. Well, what is resurrection power to each and every one of us? We know about Jesus being raised from the dead. And a lot of you, if I talk with you individually and I say, are you satisfied with your life? Is your life going through a resurrection power? Are you gaining in the spirit? And I would be probably realistic here in saying that a lot of you would say no. I'm kind of in a rut, or my life is going nowhere. Well, we want to talk today about what is resurrection power in your life. And Darren, one of the main things, it is the power to cancel your past, your failures. And some of you, the devil brings that up on your screen every day, your failures, and you've got to knock it down. You got to knock it down. And how do you do that? Through the Word. And Darren, one of my favorite scriptures here is, I will remember their sins no more. Jeremiah 31:34, and also in Isaiah 43:25, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions, your sins, and I will remember your sins no more. So here are two scriptures. You can tell that to the devil. Devil, God doesn't remember my sins. I've confessed them. Jeremiah 31:34 and Isaiah 43:25. Stick that in his face every time he tempts you tempts you with that.
Exactly. You know, I met a man, and when he was going through all of his problems, I didn't know him at that point, and I came on the stage of his life a little bit later, but he was in real trouble. He'd gone through a grand jury thing and whatever, and he'd started a corporation that is now nationally known, and I won't mention the name of the corporation, but he started having a lot more money than was good for him. Well, he started living, and he left his wife, and he became a playboy and all that kind of stuff. Well, the people that invested in his company were offended. financially and morally. They were offended because these were Christian people that he'd raised the money from. Mm. Well, so they took him, to court. Well, it ended up to be an interstate deal, so the FBI got involved. So one day I found out he had to go to court. So I said, well, I'll go with you. Where do you have to go? Well, it was downtown Denver, happened to be in the federal courthouse. And I walked in and everybody was dressed in almost the same three-piece suit. Well, I sat down among all these people and I turned to my left and I said, what do you do? And he said, I work for the Bureau. Bureau? I said, oh, really? That means FBI. I turned to the other side and what I'm telling you is the whole room was full of FBI agents, FBI attorneys. I sat there through that trial and the judge came down and said, now I'm sending you to prison for 2 years. But when you get out of prison, you will be a free man. And that was the power of cancellation that you talked about a while ago.
Yes.
Now here, the courts handle this a little differently than God does. And I know where there's sin, there's always consequences. But you know, God comes along and he says, I want to forgive your sins, clean you up and give you a fresh start.
Praise the Lord.
And the first step there is salvation, of course. And we talk to you about getting saved frequently. And you get saved by admitting that you're a sinner. Say, yeah, man, I am that person you say I am. I've done some bad things. I have done sin. Well, when you admit that and confess that, you come to Jesus and he gives you a brand new heart and a fresh start. But this power of cancellation, Barbara, you talked about, and I like the way you put that, is so important. And God wants to wipe out our ugly past. And in so doing, he wants us then to change and
That's
become
right.
righteous like he is.
He sure does. He
and righteous is not a matter of works. It's a matter of accepting the fact that we have become righteous in Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21.
That's right.
He paid the bill.
Oh, praise God. And there's another scripture in Colossians 2, verse 14. And this scripture, oh, this is such a great scripture. And I know you love the second chapter of Colossians. But Colossians 2:14 says, he has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. Now, what it says in Colossians, and that was from the Jerusalem Bible, what it says in the New American Standard is he says in Colossians 2:14, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Whoa! I love that. Everything that I was guilty of.
Now, you see right there in the verse, it says, this was hostile to you.
Yes.
Now, you can also say that when you're one with sin, you're your own worst enemy. And Jesus took that away so that you could come to him. But then in the next verse, he tells you how that happened. Mm. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities that were basically running the camp, the old camp of wickedness, he made a public display of them, triumphed over them through himself.
Praise
he did
God.
That. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, so the resurrection power of Jesus Christ helps you to cancel your past of all its failures. Praise God. Number two, it is the power to conquer your problems. Okay, so God's forgiven you of your past, but now you've got today and the problems of today. You know, it says in Matthew, don't think about tomorrow because you got enough for today to think about. So we can conquer the problems of today. And you say, yeah, I'm in a relationship God can't do anything with. And Darren, there's a lot of relationships we hear about and on the phone we take messages. I'm in a relationship that is impossible. I can't stand him. He can't stand me. We're married. What's going to happen here? Well, I don't know what's going to happen in your particular case, but there is a scripture, and it's one of your favorites in Romans 8, Darren. Who can separate us from the love of God?
Right.
And some of you are going to have to make some very difficult decisions. Yes, you are. You're going to, because you're living with a person that will never change. He or she is in the kingdom of darkness, and they're enjoying it, and they're living the life of the devil.
And they've hardened, in many cases, their will, and they're not open to change.
Yes.
Now, let me say this. I believe there are gatekeepers that guard our hearts. And when we make strong decisions, those gatekeepers begin to carry out our willful words and choices. Mm-hmm. And then it does not allow the truth to get in, particularly in those areas. And to give you an example, sometimes we talk to people that are in a live-in arrangement. They're almost common law. And we say, you know, you're going to have to give that up. And they are blind and their heart is hardened in that area. And the gatekeeper said, no, we will not allow that truth to get in here because it's going to change the way we live. Mm-hmm. So they're being held to accountability there by the word of God. They say, I don't want to listen to that. And they go on listening, shacking up, thinking they're a believer and they're okay with God. And they're saying, no, no, no over here. Let me tell you, that's a dangerous thing. You can become pathological. And let me say that this way. The center stripe in your life, the highway in your life, that stripe will disappear and you will no longer hear the voice of your conscience because you've numbed it so long. Mm-hmm. Let me give you some words of caution here. That is a terrible place to end up in, because then when you need to make a decision, you need to hear the voice of God. You no longer can hear the voice of God because you've jammed the equipment. You've done that. You've hardened your heart. So the gatekeepers say, no, 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 no. We're not going to let that in here, because it runs counterproductive, or it's cross-grained to what we have decided to believe here. Now, I want to say this. If you find somebody that's had a horrid past and they say, I've confessed my sins, I'll tell you something. You better not challenge the power of God's word and say, well, I don't believe you're saved. I just don't believe that. You better leave that between that person and the Lord. Don't pile on them. And I've seen believers do that. So I just don't believe you repented. Why? Well, what do you mean you don't believe they repented? You haven't seen them bleeding in the street? Is that your attitude toward this thing? And I know some of you listening to me today have been the victim of that kind of condemnation. You have to go to the Lord, forgive those people that won't forgive you, the one who accepts you as a new creation in Jesus Christ, and go on. I mean, you're going to have to go on. You see, what's between you and God is between you and God. But if you've gone to 1 John 1:9 and you have confessed your sins, the Bible says he has cleansed you from unrighteousness. He has forgiven your sins. You're okay with the Lord. Now, I'm saying that to some of you that are Christians or born again, but you've got sin in your life. You need to go to God and ask his forgiveness and ask him to cleanse you and change you so that you get back on good terms with the Lord, so you're on the same page with him. And you'll know that you know that you know in your heart. You won't have to have me or somebody else tell you. You will know in your heart, because his spirit will confirm with your spirit that everything's okay.
That's right. When we're born again, Darren, we get a new spirit, but this old body still hangs on, and we've got habits hanging on there.
Habits
are just an unbelievable thing. But we do have, through Jesus' resurrection power, the ability to conquer our problems. And I would suggest to you, if you're overwhelmed today, to order a power pack. That can really help you in some areas of challenge. And I really recommend that little pack of scripture cards. The word of God is going to get you through. We quoted, who can separate us from the love of Christ? But also there's Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And you've got to put that up on your wall. Father God, you and I are a majority.
And then, 1 John 4:4.
That's right. And then 1 John, that's right. Say that.
What does
that
say?
Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world.
Exactly.
And God has not given you a spirit of fear here, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And that's it's 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm sorry. So even teachers
I could have helped you. I chose to let you suffer.
I bet you did. Even teachers, when they're saying the word, sometimes that's why we have to have it out in front of us. It's so important
that you
have it down.
You win by speaking the word.
Mm-hmm.
And as you speak the word, you will be conformed greater and greater in greater and greater ways. And a greater percentage of you, if I could put it to some of you that are really into mathematics, sometimes over here, your flesh is still 100% unrenewed. And Romans 12:2 says you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, the problem is those old habit patterns that come up, and let me say it to you this way, the old habit patterns of thinking and of reacting and the way you make decisions and the way you evaluate things, you've got to leave that behind. But you can't just say, okay, I'm not that way anymore, I'm going to go. No, you're going to have to renew yourself, your mind, the inner man of the heart, and your habit patterns to conform with the image and likeness of God.
And that's number 3. It's the power to change your personality. And Darren, one of your favorites is 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's so important. God is going to change you. You're not the same person you were. So when you go through these feelings of, ooh, what am I going through? And you're going to have some really strange feelings sometimes. That's God changing you.
Okay, now let me say it this way. I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit. In Galatians 5:22, it says, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But you're not there yet. You're still bearing the fruits of evil. the fruits of anger and hate and vengeance and unforgiveness. See, there's two kinds of fruit. And we have been, as unbelievers, bearing the wrong kind of fruit. Mm-hmm. God says, no, no, I want you to change vineyards here, and I want there to be new fruit coming out of your life.
Yes.
Well, in John chapter 15, verse 16, here's what it says. You didn't choose me. I chose you. In other words, it was God's idea. I chose you and appointed you to go forth and bear fruit, mm-hmm. and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Now, that chapter, John chapter 15, is a chapter on bearing fruit. He wants us to be productive, to be fruitful,
yes.
with the good fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And let me tell you, the devil is going to fight you to keep you from bearing that kind of fruit.
That's right. And what you said in Romans 12, too, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed. That's Romans 12, 2 in the Phillips. So we can see the resurrection power is a power to cancel your past. It's the power to conquer your problems, and it is the power to change your personality. Praise the Lord.
Now, you rattled off Phillips pretty quick. We're not talking about Phillips Petroleum. What are we talking about?
A translation.
Called the Phillips
Bible.
Translation.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we're going to have a meeting.
You know, those Saturday mornings are really, really awesome. We want you to be there, and I'm going to tell you, God is going to honor what we're doing there, as he usually does. So be there early. And get your place, and of course bring your Bible, and of course bring a pencil.
Yes, I don't think I'd ever go to a Darren Live meeting without a Bible and a pencil paper.
Because we're going to try to bury you in Scripture. How's that? We're going to try to soak you in the Word, because we want you to become Word oriented. We want it to be such a powerful thing in your life that when there's a problem, the thing that comes up is not one of the fruits of evil, but the fruit of the Spirit. And the Word of God will begin to flow out of your mouth. When a challenge hits you, you tend to be fearful. You'll go over there to 2 Timothy 1:7 that Barbara quoted a while ago. Oh, thank you, Lord, you didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Oh, praise
See,
the
He's
Lord.
Given a spirit of power to us so we don't have to chicken out and run away and cave in.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.